Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we are doing Reality Bites with a very special guest, one of my all-time favorite people, one of my very best friends. I'm living in her house right now, guys. We've got Kate Davis in the house. What's up, Kate?
Hey.
This was your suggestion, actually. Like, we have been recommended this movie quite a few times to cover it.
Yeah.
But this is something that you brought up with me where you're like, you guys have to do this movie. So I was like, we have to have you on. We always ask our guests, what is your relationship with this movie?
Well, it's definitely, I grew up in the time where this movie took place. So it's,
yeah.
So it's very nostalgic for me.
Okay.
Like even, you know, the smokes are smoking, the drinks are drinking, the music they're playing. That was my 20s. And so it's very nostalgic. When it first came out, it's like, you know, videotaping just came out.
There was no
MTV. There were no cell phones. They just started. They were the size of a boot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they plugged in. Like, it wasn't, like, it's very nostalgic for me, but it's also, I never knew who the villain was in it. Or
I get that.
Like you didn't know who you were supposed to be rooting for, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Like on the first watch or whatever.
No, like the first, I found it changed with age for me.
Yeah.
I love, and I'm not surprised, and I love that, and I'm so ready to dig into that. Guys, if you have not seen Reality Bites, okay, I'm going to give you the quickest little history on what this movie is. So we've got, and I'm just using the actors' names. I'm so sorry. That's who they are. I'm just sorry. Okay. So we have Winona, Ethan, Janine, and Steve, and they're all friends. They've just graduated. Winona was the valedictorian. She gives a speech about how, you know, capitalism and I don't know how we're going to, you know, gain the world back, basically, like how we're going to conquer this world, the world we've been given. We cut forward a little bit. Right. We're out of graduation. Everybody's kind of like getting jobs. Winona has a shitty job on a TV show she doesn't like. Janine's working at The Gap. Ethan's doing nothing. He's being a bum around town. He's bumming around. And then so we basically we follow through mostly Winona and Ethan and their kind of weird back and forth. Will they? Won't they? Fuck. And then Ben Stiller comes in. Oh, my boy, Ben. Mm. Chef's kiss. Love him. Love him. Love him in this. Michael, he comes in. They start dating. Men will be menning and start, I don't know, they start arguing together. They're just, it's too many cocks in the hen house right now. That's all it is. And then at the end, after Winona has cheated on Ben with Ethan, they sleep together, Ethan freaks out, and for some reason, which we are going to talk about, I cannot wrap my head around it, she's like, Ethan, come back, I love you. And that's the movie.
Yeah. There's a little bit in there about her documentary and Ben Stiller's helping her produce
yes.
it.
Is but the only other point to say, as far as like romance, that's what it's a, yeah. it's a try, it's between, Ethan, Winona, and Ben, Michael, Troy, and what is
Lainey or Lelaine?
Oh, man. Wow. What a name. Anyway, so who do we think the movie thinks the villain is?
I think the movie thinks it's Michael, Ben Stiller's character.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The
right?
movie thinks that. Yeah. Because he's the...
Because he doesn't end up with her. Well, he's like the...
Hold on. He's in their view, the capitalist. But really, he's just a guy with a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
And
yeah.
she actually... I think she actually, at the beginning, really likes her day job. She just hates the star of the morning show, Good Morning,
played
Grant.
Played by Frasier's dad.
Yes.
Exactly. He nails it.
He nails it. He's so good. And
Grant Goobler. What a well-written name to hate.
Oh, my God.
Grant Goobler.
Also, Ben Stiller's mother was in it. I don't know if you noticed her.
Oh, who was she?
When Winona goes for the job interview and she says, what does irony mean? That is Ben Stiller's mother.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
That's a minor villainy there, though, because like as much as I do know what irony is, I was like, I don't think in a job interview situation I could describe
No, not off
irony.
The hop.
But
Ethan
Hawke's character knew it right away because
he's a book man.
He's an intellectual who's afraid of love and afraid of himself. And I think that's what makes him the bad boy. But it doesn't really make him the bad boy because you see he's just damaged and he's just afraid to love. Yeah. And he won't admit to his love, which is why he's always running with other women and trying to do this. And he knows how much he loves Winona and he doesn't want to make himself vulnerable because he doesn't want to get hurt. But that doesn't make him brave. Ben Stiller's character, way more brave.
Way more brave. Yeah. I literally love Ben Stiller's character in this. I think they did him so well. I was like, I 1000% would date this man. He's quirky. He's kind of weird. He's got this job. So they meet, when they first meet,
she throws a cigarette in his car.
That wasn't accidental. That was not. That's so interesting. We had different takes on that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
totally.
She threw it in absolutely on purpose. She was like, look at this capitalist fuck. They both roll their eyes at him. How do you not know where your cigarette's going?
Sometimes it just usually falls down.
Yeah.
She did a good flip.
I'm gonna tie break here and agree with Kate. I think it was accidental.
Yeah. Okay. Accidental, but still her fault.
Ironic. Yes, absolutely.
Still her fault. Yeah. And then so they get into a car accident and he's like, okay, well, like my lawyer's like, do you have a lawyer? Like they're telling me like a lot of my premiums are going to go up. And then they kind of talk for a little bit. And he's like, I'm just going to tell them to forget about it.
Yeah. Cause like the cars weren't super damaged.
No.
Like, it was a bit of a fender bender, you know.
It was a fender bender. It was a way to meet.
Yeah. It's a meet cute.
Yes.
But he's actually pretty, she breaks his precious,
Dr. Zaius
statue in his office where he's already forgiving her. I was like, this is a very kind and forgiving guy. Not to give him too much credit, 1994 Winona Ryder, you know, you're going to forget a couple traffic accidents, you know, like.
Oh, so
she
beautiful. Could run me over with a car.
Yeah.
She could literally run me over
with
a car.
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It's honestly, I feel bad.
Johnny had her on his arm. Winona forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Let's not speak that.
He who shall not be named. Yes. Okay. So they meet and he's supposed to be this like, you're right. He represents like capitalism.
Little
selling
out, man.
Oh, God. The way Ethan Hawke's character Troy speaks to this guy makes me want to throw Troy in an ocean. I was like, you're the worst.
It's
like,
very pretentious and very,
Exclusive
and aloof and everything I hate about people.
Ooh, just the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
Just the smartest man in the room.
But when I was 20, I loved the assholes. Can I say that on this
podcast? Girl, if you buckle up, you're going to hear some shit.
Can I say assholes?
Oh, we don't.
You have no idea.
Wait till next week.
Yeah. Like, team, wait till next week. I said something vicious.
Like, that's a lot of bad boy. Like, you know, we all go through our bad boy stage thinking we can change people.
Yes.
Which is, you know, Winona's not taking it. You're going to be in the friend zone. You're going to stay in the friend zone.
But I'm willing to say that if this movie extended out two more scenes, they break up.
Maybe.
I think so. Like, they're not staying together.
Well, and that's the thing I noticed the most about watching the movie this time is at the end of the movie, absolutely no problems have been solved that these characters face.
Well, they've admitted their love.
They've admitted their love. Okay. But he's still a fucking terrible guy. She's still broke, unemployed, has screwed over the one chance she has to sell her documentary.
Yeah.
And
now they've stolen the idea anyway.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
MTV started, reality TV started right there.
Exactly. And then, so they're still going to miss rent. Her dad just figured out that she's using the gas card.
$900!
To buy groceries and all the rest. And
that's
you just
like
go
8 months rent back then.
Steve Zahn's character is still being... thrown out by his mom for being gay.
Gay, yeah.
Like, Troy's still a piece
Everyone
of shit.
Still thinks they have AIDS.
Yeah, you know it's like, I mean? Nothing has actually yeah. changed by the end of this movie, which...
Nothing in the 90s changed.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
I did laugh at the fact that it's the 90s and they're like, oh, we graduated and now it's such, we're having such a hard time finding jobs in the 1990s?
Woof. Shit's about to get real.
The victory lap of capitalism? Yeah. The 1990s?
The victory lap of capitalism. Hilarious, yes.
And it's so funny to see all the problems that they're dealing with. And then I was just like, every single one of these things has gotten so much worse.
So much worse, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, even the fact that they're like, Lainey, shut off the camera. You don't have to be recording everything all the time. And I'm just like, ooh.
You're going to hate the future.
Yes.
You're going to hate it. You're really, really going to dislike it.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah, she films everything. Yeah. And a lot of the times on this podcast, we have this thing where it's like, the best answer is neither of these men. Okay, that happens
Third
quite a
option.
Bit.
Third option, yeah.
Third option, neither of these people. Third option, different man. And I don't feel that in this case. I am absolutely Michael.
You are Team Ben.
Yes,
Stiller,
I'm absolutely Team Ben Stiller. First of all, honestly, and I have never, not once have I ever thought this about Ben Stiller, but I was like, Ben Stiller in this movie can get it.
Oh, yeah. He no, can absolutely.
He's hot in this
in
movie.
In his younger days?
Yes.
Even now, I would do Ben Stiller now.
No,
totally.
I bet it's like a, his energy would be very captivating.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He'd be a very charismatic guy mm-hmm, if you met mm-hmm. him in real life.
No, but he's an absolute honey in this movie. He's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's a yes for me. Everything he does. Okay, I'm sorry. I strongly believe actually everything this man does is correct.
Yeah.
Like, he does not do one thing that
no,
I disagree with.
No, he's just a good guy trying to... I mean, he does take her movie or her documentary without her permission to show it.
Okay.
She said, I don't want to. It's not ready. And he took it anyway, knowing full well, which is a bit of a dick move.
But she was stoked as soon as he said, I did it anyway.
Yeah, but she thought
she
it was
pumped.
Actually her thing.
Okay, here's...
It.
No, here... And Oh, this made me so mad. Okay, because the audacity, okay, the absolute audacity to think that you would have 100% creative control on your first project.
Yeah.
Are you fucked? Okay, the idea that she went in there, she's like, this isn't what I wanted. What the heck? How many times? Okay, just, we are creative people here. We've gone into a pitch meeting before.
Yes. Yes, we have.
You gotta bend. It's the rules.
Yeah.
You gotta bend a bit. Okay.
But this is imaginary. Like, it's not, like, I get that, but if they did that, then there'd be no story.
Yeah.
Well, no, but like, this is what
out.
We're here to argue.
But sell out is my point. Yeah.
Sell out. Sell out. Yes.
And a couple key things there. It's like, so one, she's stoked. She's buying the new dress. She's going here. This is it. Mm-hmm. They play it. First of all, it's a trailer.
It's a trailer.
It's a trailer.
I agree.
They took the footage that they liked. They threw it to the editing department. It's like, put this together to make a thing. And it's a trailer. So she storms out like, you've destroyed. And I will agree that how are we going to solve the problem of the world that we've inherited and for it to be reduced to like, let's get pizza, pizza, pizza. That's a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're clearly in negotiations for this. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, we're still figuring out what the show is. I also want to point out that in this scenario, Ben Stiller has bosses. Ben Stiller is young in this mm-hmm. too. They say he dropped out of college to take this job. So, like, even though he's this highfalutin guy, like, he presents as an executive, he's not.
No.
Like, his job is probably to find young talent that will work for the station and put it on there. So he's got to answer to people, too, right? You come with this great raw footage, well shot. There's somebody in there being like, but we need to tell
Guys.
A story. We need to, like...
You're being too pragmatic. It's you're being,
this is the whole is, podcast, Kate.
Yeah, but this is you guys in the industry. From someone watching it,
yeah,
they took her footage, they messed it up, they insulted her because she is a documentarian.
Ugh.
And she was... And it's all about that. It's about the pretense or someone thinking, or 20-year-olds thinking they're better than they are. That
oh,
their
yes.
shit doesn't stink.
Yeah.
That we are worth, like, we are right. We are idealistic. This is the way it is. And it's just not.
No.
No.
You
and
know?
That's my point, right? Is like there are professionals working on that being like, this is how you edit a film together so that it tells a story to people who don't know your three bullshit friends.
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're like, not famous. We don't know you. We're doing this for the first time.
Who is Troy?
Yes.
What is it? Like, I actually thought, like, legitimately, that trailer got me up to speed on the movie up to that point pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, you could play that
as
the trailer for the movie, and I'd be like, I understand what this movie's about now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, whoever cut that trailer kind of did a good job. And if you're even still mad about, if you're like, okay, you did take it, they ruined her vision, he did try and fix it.
Yes.
He came back, he was like, he was like, we're going to pitch it your way, like, I bought tickets to New York. Like we're going to go, all this kind of stuff. And then like Ethan Hawke's like, I fucked you and left.
In like, love with him.
Yeah.
That's it. She, love is love. You can't, you can't fight it. You can't sometimes.
She should though.
She should. She should fight.
I do want to break down that he made it better thing because actually I think that is the perfect example of what an apology should be. Like if you look up how to apologize to people, there's like steps that you should take, right? You don't go just like, well, you seem upset, so I'm going to say sorry. You know, sorry that I upset you. Because what you do is you acknowledge that you have hurt the person, right? You go, hey, and Ben Stiller does this. He goes, hey, I know I should have protected your art and I didn't. You acknowledge that how it made them feel. You go, and I know that's upsetting you because I know this is very important. Then you go, how are you going to remedy this? I bought us tickets to New York so you can go and pitch it how you want and ensure them that that's not going to happen again. That's a full apology, and he does it all. Do you know how rarely you see that in a movie?
No. Also, when they come out of the club, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's gone, and I forget the actual line, but he just says something. They're both sitting there. Ben's just a better man all around.
Well, yes, because Ethan Hawke says, we die alone. And he said, well, if we die alone, what are you doing out here then?
What are you
looking for
like,
out
that
here?
That is the line of the movie.
Oh, so good. And I was like, good. Slam him. Slam the smart guy. Show him that you're smart too.
Yeah.
Just because this guy, I hate that when people have like certain knowledge of certain things. Say you're like really good at history, right?
Yeah.
And you just bring every conversation back to how you know history really well. I don't like this friend.
Yeah.
I don't like this friend.
Okay, can I put this out there?
Yeah.
So maybe Winona's the villain in this.
Oh! Filming all her friends when they don't want it.
Yeah.
They're very both
she
sides.
She didn't ask a single one of them if they were okay to be on TV.
And in fact, many of them at certain points said, please turn off that camera. Yeah. I don't want you to film this.
Yeah. This is a very interesting perspective. I do like this.
Yeah, playing both sides.
She does cheat on her boyfriend.
But it's not really her boyfriend.
I feel like they're established.
Fair enough. Yeah.
If he's buying her tickets to things, like they're going to hotel rooms, like this feels like.
But was she deceiving herself knowing full well she was always in love with Ethan Hawke?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely, she was.
And which makes her villainy.
Fair enough.
And I don't blame her for liking Ethan Hawke in this, but Ethan Hawke is. Not the character Troy is such a piece of shit.
Yes. He is a d-bag.
He's just damaged. He's just in pain.
Everyone
wants to fix them.
No, I'm over the fixing part of my life. I think.
Yeah,
for me, it comes down to the speeches in the club, right?
Yes.
Where it's like Ben kind of pitches, as I said, the perfect apology, and then. Troy follows Lainey into the back and gives this speech where it's like, you know, he lets you navigate your whole relationship. You can't navigate me. I'm going to disappear without telling you, and you're going to be mad at me. And it's like, but I'm the one real thing in your life. Like, that speech basically boils down to, I'm going to treat you like shit, and you're going to take it because...
Yes.
You don't know better.
Yes.
I honestly found that speech chilling. I was like, fucking run.
Well,
go to New York with the guy.
Yes.
Yes. I agree. I agree, but it's not the story.
It's not,
it's not the movie.
No, it's not the movie. No, no, no. She should have run for sure. That was a terrible speech.
She's even horrible. Lainey's even horrible when she's like, I don't, you know, her friend offers, she loses her job. You can work at the Gap. I'm not working at the Gap. Like, she is as pretentious almost as Ethan Hawke.
And then goes to a burger joint, and I'm like, your friend is right there.
Yeah.
I don't think she handled it well. I will defend, I don't want my boss to be my roommate. You know, I don't want to go to work for my roommate.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, you know, I do
just
get
from
that.
The social aspect. Yeah.
I also not just don't want to see your ass for 24 hours.
Exactly, right? I don't, we have a cooperative experiment.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, or a
Oh, no, but that's not how she said it. You're right. Yeah, you're right. It's not how she said it. She said it like you're less than.
Yes.
But that's her whole thing. Oh, my God. You've really opened a can of worms with this.
As pretentious as Ethan Hawke is.
That is so true. Maybe she saved Ben.
Yeah.
From her awfulness.
And now they can just
Ben
do awful together.
So this movie, as you're pitching it, where let's focus on Ben Stiller's character. He's this like up and coming exec and gets tangled up with this narcissistic, self-absorbed,
beautiful,
better than you girl.
Human.
Yeah.
Who ruins his life to go hang out with some asshole in a kind of bad.
A lot of women, a lot of young women go through their I can change an asshole phase.
Oh, yeah. of course.
Right?
Of course.
Which is where she's at.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I get that.
Yes, absolutely. But
it's hard to point a villain in this because they're all sort of, other than Janine Garofalo and Steve.
Steve
Zahn.
Like, other than those two, like, really, the three of them, I mean, as a 20-year-old, I always thought Ben Stiller was the evil guy, the villain in this. And now, as a mature woman, I think Ethan Hawke is.
I love that.
I just think you're smarter than I was at your age. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I'm already. I just did it. But I went through that real fast.
Yeah, but now I've read the Four Agreements. You know, people suck your energy by being aloof. They suck, you have those. And that he's one of those guys. He's an elitist who thinks he's smarter and better, and that makes him villainy.
You know what he kind of reminded me of? I know you watched I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
Have you watched I Think You Should Leave?
No.
Okay, there's this one sketch where it's the older boyfriend.
Oh, that destroys me.
It's like the older boyfriend. Everything's like, everything he says is like super pretentious and nobody gets it because it's all like back references from things nobody would understand. And he's like, oh my God, this gazpacho burnt my mouth. And they were like, it's cold. And he goes, no, it's room temperature. I wasn't ready for it. Like, it's just like shit like that. Like,
and the line from that fits this movie perfectly is like, remember when we did that? I told you about that. Remember I told you about it because I criticized you for like your weight. And then I bought you all the desserts to make up for it. And then you didn't eat anything. Like, and I was just like, and I was just like, that's exactly what Troy's doing.
Yes,
like
he's got
this line in here where, again, it's him and Ben Stiller. And I love the lines that they have together.
Oh, the back and forth is great between them. Yes.
Like, I'm on Ben's side the whole time.
Absolutely.
Because Ben Stiller and Michael walks in and being like, hey, guys, what's up? Like, you know how awkward it is
nice.
To be the guy picking a girl up from a date and it's a house full of roommates.
Yeah.
And you're like the weird guy. But the one line, and this happens later, is he goes, when they're sort of going at it, and he's like, I'm sorry that like there's no like fucking secret handshake to be your friend or whatever. And Troy just goes like, oh, there's no secret handshake. There's just an intelligence
IQ.
Level.
There's an IQ
level. And it's just like, fuck off.
Oh.
Like nothing Michael Ben Stiller's character has done in this entire movie has shown that he is dumb or unintelligent.
No. No, nothing.
Not so. The only thing you could really say is he walks into a room earlier in the movie, and they're all sitting around playing a game where they have to name an episode of, what was it, Good Times or something? Some sitcom, anyway.
Yeah.
And he just goes, oh, immediately kind of picks up on what they're doing and goes, yeah, the one where they do this. And they just all look at him like, yeah, we've covered that one already. And I was like, okay. Wow.
Sick.
That's hostile energy.
Yes. And to say that speaks to, I think if you don't, and this is, I think it's a hard rule for everyone. If you don't like any of the friends of the person you're dating, you don't actually like the person you're dating.
That's a good rule.
It is. Cause you don't notice because you're blinded by like pussy or dick or whatever it is.
I think I got to break up. my God.
Oh, no, my husband's fine, Kate.
But even when...
My husband's friends with my kids. Oh, no.
Oh, they're the worst.
They're the worst. But even... Okay, but even when Ethan Hawke is sitting on the couch and Michael picks up Lainey to leave, and then he's like, why are you dressed like that? You look like a doily. I was like,
you both know I hate that. I hate that. Okay, never, ever comment on the way I'm dressed. Unless it's like something like, did you notice this big ass stain on your ass?
Yeah,
like, that's something different. Like that pointed out, right? You're criticizing the way I look. Excuse me, sir. You haven't washed your hair in 3 weeks. Fuck off. How's that?
Yeah. Okay. You have no money. You don't have a place to live or
wear your regular clothes. Fuck right off.
You're sneaking your underwear in with their laundry. And it's so cute.
And I had something, because that's for her, that is like, I had something big happen to me, which I'm going to sell my thing. So I bought a dress.
Yeah.
Special outfit.
A special outfit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 1990s Winona Ryder.
And Ben Stiller was so nice. And Ben Stiller was so nice. He's like, you look beautiful.
And she did.
She did look beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, she could be wearing a garbage bag. You'd be like, that, you look so hot. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But just to be like, oh, yeah, I really hated that moment. And where he goes,
I might bring back her haircut.
You should.
I keep looking at the haircut. I'm like, you know.
Although I've gotten into problem. I watched, when I was in high school, I watched Drive Me Crazy with Melissa Joan Hart in it. And she has like this cute little bob in it. And I was like, I would look soups cute in that. And I got my hair cut. And I got to tell you, that's not it for me. It's not it. It looked horrible. I had to wear hats for so long. It looked bad. It was so bad. I don't have the face shape for it.
I can picture Melissa Joan Hart with that short haircut.
Yeah.
And I can picture you with short hair. And my mind immediately goes to bowl cut.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Just the most miserable looking
Maybe
Rebecca.
Maybe Janine Garofalo's bangs are the villain in this.
I thought she was also slamming in this. I got to be honest with you, Kate.
Cute.
I think she's so funny.
She's so, the lines in it are really funny.
How does she, oh my
and
God.
And cheesy. Sometimes they're super cheesy.
Oh, yeah. The one I loved was Lainey's so depressed she's watching TV and it's the 75. Yeah. It's Wedgie is the fashion show and it's the $75 bandana by Donna Karen.
Yes.
Red for Bloods and blue for Crips.
Yes.
And you're just like,
oh Lord.
Like, you really knew what you were doing in that like
moment.
To completely skewer that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
So we still don't know who the villain is, and I like it.
We just keep circling, although I do really like this idea of that, like, Winona and Ethan are both the villains, and Ben's just trying to get out alive, you know what I mean? He's just trying to get out alive. He doesn't like any of this woman's friends.
Well, because again, from his perspective, he had a nice project to pitch, which she then scuttles. So now he's scrambling at work, which we never see, but he would be scrambling at work to put something else together.
Yeah, but then we see it is put together, and he's taken the entire idea and launched the show without any of them.
Did he do that?
Yes, he did. It's at the end. It's like the credits.
The oh.
So they just recast it and then just reshoot it, which I think does make him the hero of this story.
No, it makes him the villain.
Because he's the only one that succeeded.
No, it makes him a
he's
villain.
He's the only one that succeeded.
You're right. Oh, jeez,
no,
you're right.
It makes him the villain.
No. He's our hero.
He totally stole the idea.
We got to flip it. But I also love that he stole it. Full support.
No,
full
support. What an idea to steal. The idea that young people hang out. Like...
Yeah, young people hang out.
But MTV was just start. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
well, they say it's MTV, but edgier.
Yeah. Like in 1994, well, I hadn't even started stand-up. I had no cell phone. There was no YouTube. There was no comedy channel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were just getting our first DOS computer.
Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
I don't think we got a computer in my house until I was like 12 or 13.
Wow.
Like, it was
like 90s, early to late 90s.
No, that would I would have been, that would have been like 2002.
Wow.
we were a little late to the game.
That's crazy.
But no, that wasn't like late. That was just like everyone was like staggering getting computers. It was
that
weird.
Was, you know, country living.
Country living. Yeah. No, it was.
For sure. Why have a computer if you don't have internet? You know, like what? I do want to quickly talk about Grant Goobler, because I think he's another villain in this movie.
Oh, he definitely is a villain. For sure.
So what do you think of Lani's move there?
He had it coming.
Honestly, it's the domino thing for me. You gotta push one little doll. If for this man to be so unprofessional, to not be able to, first of all, who in Lord's name doesn't read their cards first before they hit live television?
I also, if we can just go back a scene where he puts the first scene where she's at work and you see him being a total jerk to her. He puts in a videotape, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to be porn. Oh. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, what's in the tape?
That's so funny.
Yeah, He's just been bamboozled.
No, I love that. That's just such...
Because she's so nice to him in the office. She's like, do you want to... I did your stuff, but I'd love you to see this. I made it for you. And he's like... fuck off. And then
he absolutely deserves it. And anybody that doesn't read their cue cards before they get to stage deserves whatever happens.
And anyone who's not reading like a split second ahead,
one split, just a second,
just be like, oh, this is saying I like small boys. Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to say that.
That's not for me.
Time out. Something's wrong with the cue cards. Can we take that from the beginning?
It's live breakfast television.
Oh, it's live breakfast television.
Yeah, it is.
Gotcha.
They do such a good job of setting up how much of an absolute wiener he is.
Oh, yeah.
They do a great job. This
and
honestly,
because it's such a minor part of it.
Yeah, minor character, minor role. Yeah. Such a big impact, though, because he's such a total cunt through the whole movie. It's insane. He plays it well. He plays it good. You hate him.
And just all the old people in the audience. Yeah. So,
but like 100% deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
100% deserved. Or maybe not, because Winona's the villain.
Wow. I hate making the woman the villain.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Then it's definitely Troy.
I hate Troy. I hate him also like, okay. I hate that he brought another woman around and then had a full face argument in front of her.
Oh, red flag city.
Ugh.
Actually, you know what? Good.
You
saved that woman a lot of time.
But also, he just can't control his emotions around her.
Well, that's
his jealousy.
That's
he can't
presented
control his jealousy.
As, like, look at how passionate they are. But that's also... awful. Yeah. It's like you should be able to control
but in
your
the
emotions.
90s we weren't as woke as you. We were allowed to be awful. We were allowed to say awful
things.
We were allowed to be awful.
That's like, so funny.
That's what you did there. You still played inappropriate like games. Like there like it wasn't like everything was just things were starting to change. You had like your first interracial relationships on TV. Everything. It was like, like if you watch like Eddie Murphy's comedy special from then.
Woo!
And we thought it was the greatest, funniest thing ever. You didn't even think twice about it.
And you watch it now, I can't get through the first five minutes.
And you're just like, oh my God.
It's just like, I know I've been told 1,000 times how good it is, and you just got to cut to the end. Like, there's bits in there that are so good. Yeah. And I'm super glad he came out afterwards and was like, hey, no, all that's crazy. We shouldn't have said any
but
of that.
But we didn't know that. We said all of it.
So funny. Yeah, how vast the difference is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Troy does another thing that's hugely diggish. More than just like, arguing and yelling at each other, which you can like kind of write off as passion. And he does this a couple times in the movie where he moves his body to block her way when she's trying to leave. Like he gets in her face and is very aggressively being like, I'm not going to let you buy. I'm not going to let you pass. And
that's so hot.
Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no.
I agree. I'm just kidding.
You're like,
playing devil's advocate.
That's like one of the things where you're that quickly turns to something else. You know what I mean? Like a guy, and it's different from like, don't leave. We still need to talk. What are you doing? Like, don't storm out on me as to like silently like staring her in the eye and blocking a doorway so like a woman can't leave when you're like that.
You were allowed to do that in the early 90s.
You were allowed.
Yeah.
No, I had a man do that to me once. I didn't care for it.
No, that's good.
I don't care for that. No, I don't like it. Yeah, a lot of his behaviors, everything. Just even him showing up and just be like, okay, I'm moving in now.
To the maxi pad.
To the maxi pad, baby. That's a great.
It's a great name.
That's a great name.
I'm calling
for your place.
Your new place. That
the maxi pad.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Me and Alexa.
Yeah. The diva pad.
No. The diva pad.
Why do you call it the diva cup? Well, because like maxi pad and that and then any.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It broke down. Yeah. The metaphor got lost somewhere along the way.
That's so funny. Just to branch off on again, like I absolutely love Janine Garofalo's character in this whole movie. Yeah. I love that they had her in a capitalist job.
Yeah.
That she was like, oh, like we're all, you know, we're all anarchists and this kind of thing. But she's like, I just really, really like this scene where she, and it's so short, but she says, our sales have gone up 20% since I became the manager. I don't know. I'm actually
so
kind
proud
of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's actually awesome. You are growing out of the I'm too cool self.
Yeah.
And I really like that because that is actually real growth of like, I'm actually not.
And how proud she is when she folds the shirt perfectly.
Yeah. She's like, look at that. Look at that sweater.
Yeah. Because that's the thing is you can have pride in whatever you do, right? Like there is a pride in doing something and doing it well. Is that something you necessarily want to do for the rest of your life or forever making
look,
your career?
There's something to be said for an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially when you have a piece of shit roommate, Lanny, or who is on the phone to a phone psychic for $400.
She was in pain. She didn't realize.
Oh, I know. But that's just the, like, that actually reinforces your point that she is the villain of this movie.
I'm just saying.
Because if you're the roommate who all of a sudden you get a $400 phone bill.
Yeah.
Because you're
depressed.
Recently depressed, heartbroken roommate is on a phone psychic forever.
Yeah.
Then, you'd be pissed. And then Lonnie yells at her, being like, fuck you, this is my apartment, it's under my lease, you guys are yelling at me for...
I get that reaction, though, I do.
Oh, really?
No, you are a hurt, scared, cornered animal.
Oh, okay.
You only have attack. You have attack, or you have to accept your exact reality in this moment, and she's not ready.
You know, reality bites, guys.
Hey,
that's the name of the movie.
What?
She just looks straight to the camera.
I will. That just reminds me that I have developed this absolutely horrible habit of whenever they say the name of the movie in a movie and I'm watching it with my girlfriend, I will go, that's the name of the movie. And I started doing it as a joke. And but now I do it without thinking. And I'm sure it's
just a
very
part of
annoying.
You now.
Yeah, you're like, I am the Batman. I'm like, that's the name of the movie. And I'm not even sure I'm doing it as a joke anymore. It's very, this is a character flaw. I need to fix it.
I just think there's something for everyone in this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just think everyone has moments in their life where they're villains or they're heroes.
Oh, absolutely. No, there were some people doing some stuff I didn't agree with where I'm like, oh, I've done that.
Yes.
Does, of course.
It does capture like that age very well, too.
It
like,
does. Like yes. We,
early 20s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And like, you know, the details might change, but like you could, like this is 94, but you could put that in 2004. You could put that in 2014. You could put it in 1984. All the details would change, but that whole like angst of you've just graduated, you're kind of your own person for the first time. What do we do?
And
what
then,
do we make?
You
with
know,
our life?
We've all read Siddhartha. You know what I mean? You guys don't.
No,
know
we have no idea.
Oh,
I know. What is this?
Doesn't matter.
It's doesn't matter.
Just a book. It's a pretentious book.
Oh, okay. Ethan was probably reading it.
Oh yeah, I know for sure. For sure.
Oh no, I can't. I don't know. I don't get it. I think Ben's the hotter guy. I think he's more put together.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going on.
No,
he's
my
like,
hero now. But
he's
when
just
I was 20,
absolutely just was so Ethan. Like, oh, you're so beautiful. It's constant compliments and you're so talented. She like Winona literally says like a couple of times in this movie. One time she's like, oh, I'm not going to take any compliment. And another time she literally says, that is literally the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want, but again, you're right, Kate. You don't want that in your 20s. You want that in your 30s.
Yes. You
he's,
realize.
Like Ben's just ahead of his time. He's just ahead of his age group of like, oh, like he just knows what he wants. He's a very stable person. He puts it out there and you're like, what do you mean you say everything you mean? Like, you mean everything you say? Like, you're being honest with me constantly? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. I don't want that.
And as a representative of he's like the he's the sellout or whatever, it's I love it when movies do this where they go, he's the sellout, but he has the coolest job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who doesn't want to program a television station?
Yeah. A youth-centered television station that's taking risks and you get to decide who's on. It's like, that's a cool job. That's like, it's like if he had been like an accountant or a hostile takeover lawyer or, you know, like a stockbroker or something like that, you'd been like, yeah, okay, you're serving this sort of thing. But it's like this just bothers me so much being a comedian and being in a creative field where people go like, but there's like the sellout jobs in the arts. It's like, no, there's not.
No, it's there's just not. A job. It's just people trying to get by.
And doing creative stuff while you do it. And it's... he's a more successful artist than she is what I'm gonna say.
Whoa.
Cause shit he's making is getting seen and it's making people happy.
I think there's also something to be said that there's creativity in everything. Whether that's what separates a Warren Buffett's from you know what I mean? Like the stock and investment guy you'd never heard of.
Yeah.
He was
creative
about what he was doing. He thought outside of the box, and you can think outside of the box and creatively about anything. You know, you really can.
Well, that's just a good message, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
that's just a positive.
Everyone just turn off the podcast, sit in your cars in silence, and just contemplate case messages. What is it that you
No, because I have a friend who's like really into leasing.
Really into leasing.
Yeah, like she loves leasing. She's like
L-E-A-S.
Yeah, like she leasing buildings and stuff that. But she's so creative about how she finds clients and loves what she does. And I just think there's something to be said for just accepting where you are and thinking outside of the box in anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I agree with you. I'm going to add my own little personal philosophy on this, which is like, you're right. Like, you can be creative in anything you do. I think an also key thing is how far away are you from helping people and hurting people? Because everything you do will have some distance, right? Like if if you are, as you said, leasing buildings to people and you see the people, you see the businesses and you see the people that you get and like what's happening in that space and you go, I did that, I made that happen. You feel very close to helping somebody, right? If you're the accountant in a doctor's office and the doctor is doing surgery and like they just give you the bills and you... Yeah, you're kind of helping people, but you're not hands in their guts helping people, right?
Yeah.
And then you go, so how close are you to helping people and how far away are you from hurting people? And everyone's got their own sweet spot there that you need to find. That's my...
Well, it's sort of like Janine Garofalo when she's at the Gap and she's helping that woman with the blue, the denim shirt. And Winona's watching her from the side, like trying to get her attention. But she's like totally into helping that person.
And into
her job.
And sometimes you know what's coming out of your mouth. You're like, this is garbage. But you feel very good.
Yeah.
And I want you to feel good about this purchase. Nothing's worse than like... coming out in a dress and the salesperson being like, oh, that's a no. Jesus.
But if that's what they need, you know, it's like, I don't think this works for you. Let's find something else. Cause like, there's a helpful way to do
there
that.
There is a helpful way to
but
do
like, that. But I guess what I would just summarize it is like, if you feel dissatisfied with what you're doing, move closer to helping people. Whatever that means to you, where you have
we're all heroes here today, guys. We are all heroes here today.
By the way, for us, it's all like helping people is they laugh in a basement sometimes.
Yes, that is how we help.
Yeah, it happens, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
The only thing
it does occasionally happen.
It's just not clear. Do you find like most other movies are like clear? Like you're the villain, you're the hero. That's it.
Oh, we muddied the water.
We get a lot of these. Like it's actually not. Sometimes it's like, okay, what do we think the movie is, or what do we think just our perspective is versus what society's like? There's just There's villains everywhere. You could argue a villain for most things. Sometimes we do, it's not the villain's right, it's the hero's shit. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're like, you know what? There's not a strong villain in this movie, but this person's pure garbage.
Yeah. Right.
And here's why. But I would say the only thing that Janine Garofalo's character does, the one thing where I'm like, don't love it, girl. And it's just a personal pet peeve I have. I hate it when people keep a little list of all the people they fucked. I hate it. Oh. It freaks me out. I don't like it. Okay.
I gotta burn mine.
I gotta burn mine. I don't. It freaks me out because, like, I don't know. First of all, I'm just of the opinion that I don't think we should all hold on to our numbers super tight. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's not a big number, but I don't know either because I'm not sitting here counting on my little fingies or having a little journal about it. Okay. Like, I was talking to this guy and he told me, I don't know how he even got in this discussion because I don't give a fuck about anybody's number, but he had brought up that his number was 122. And it's not that it's a big number. I'm not here to slut shame anybody. You do you. Okay. You have sex with as many people as you want.
You do you and 121 other people.
You do you at 120. Yes.
It's a lot of disappointed people.
But it's the specificity of the number that freaks me out. I'm like, what dear diary entry are you writing in after every one of these? It feels a little too conquest. Yeah. It feels a little too like you're a notch.
Okay, but to me, it was very symbolic of her scare near the end of the movie where she thinks she might have AIDS. Which was
of course, we're building up to that. That was that seed for that. Yes.
Exactly. So.
Absolutely. But for me, I'm just like, just if you're listening, if you have a list, you might want to burn that list.
Well, that reminds us. That just reminds me of a scene from our bonus episode for Looking at the Calendar. Next month coming up, we're doing Lady Bird. And there is a scene there where they talk about numbers.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, how many people have you slept with? And he goes, I don't know. I don't keep track. It's not like I keep a list or anything. She's like, why wouldn't you keep a list? We're in high school.
That's actually a good point. That is a good point, though.
It was so funny in the moment. Because, like, watching these two movies very close together, I was like, oh, there's some similarities coming to age.
That's so funny.
Why wouldn't you keep it? List? We're in high school. Like,
that is actually a good point. If you're in high school and you're listening to me complain about this, this does not apply to you.
If you're a 40-year-old man, it applies. Yeah.
No, it applies. It applies. Burn that book. We're over it. Okay.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Disgusting. I don't care for it. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, it's true.
Moving forward.
And she couldn't remember his name. It's like, Ricky, was it?
Chad. I can't remember.
I feel like every name in that list has become a punchline.
Yes.
I was like, a Chad. She slept with a Chad? Don't you know what that means on the internet 30 years from now?
No. What does it mean?
Oh, I don't know. It's some insult.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to change my kid's name now.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, in summation for me, I would say I don't like anything that comes out of Ethan's mouth.
Yeah, garbage man.
1,000% Ben Stiller, 1,000%. And, you know, I'm not big on capitalism, so here we are.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any closing statements and thoughts?
I just think Ethan Hawke's pout. He's a little pretentious, and when they finally do it, and it's so soft and gentle, and like, I'm going to hold your face and do it. You know, like, there's a part of it where it's like, okay, it's true love, or is it?
Yeah.
Right? Or what you think it's supposed to be.
I vibe it. But for the purpose of this podcast, I do not.
And also, you know, I think we need to probably mention that 1994 Ethan Hawke could also get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, he is a good looking man.
He ended up with Uma Thurman. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's
a hot couple.
It's a hot couple.
Yeah, absolutely.
These actors always being so attractive.
Making hot babies.
All right. I think it's probably time for our definitive ranking of how good the villain is.
Great. What do you got for us, Craig?
So I've got the generation scale.
Okay.
Because this is the Gen X movie, right? Mm-hmm. So on a scale from the greatest generation to Gen X, I'm going to give Troy, Ethan Hawke's character here, a baby boomer. Because he gets what he wants and doesn't care who he fucks over to get.
Oh shit! Oh my god! What do you have for us, Kate?
I'm going to say millennial because it's all about him.
You're just tagging on. You're tagging on. I like that. I like that. A nice hype.
I'm tagging it on.
Yeah, tag it on. I love that. I'm going, okay, I'm actually ranking Ben because I think that's who, or Michael technically is the character's
name.
Yeah. Because I think that's who the movie thinks the villain is.
Yeah.
I've got the reality TV scale. I'm going to say from F-Boy Island to Real Housewives, I am going to give him a survivor. This man's just trying to stay alive out here. Okay, he's just trying to do his best and stay alive out here, man.
I like that.
Love's rough. Guys, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. Guys, we've got Patreon, okay? If you got a couple of bucks to throw your way, if you're like, I fucking don't want to listen to one more goddamn ad. Oh boy, do we have you. Oh man, we're going to help you out. Don't worry about it. We've got an ad-free tier. We've got bonus episodes. Guys, you can hit us up at patreon.com/villain. The villain was right? Villain was right?
Villain was right.
The villain was right. Hit us up on that. Throw us a couple bucks. Love you guys so much. If you already do that, thank you for being our number one fans. If you don't do that or don't want to and you're just listening to this, you fucking rock too. You're awesome. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to follow us.
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook at Villain Was Right. You can follow us on Twitter at VWR Podcast. And if you have some suggestions, audience suggestions for movies that we should cover, you can go ahead and email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. We do read the emails. We're a little behind in getting back to people, but we appreciate the notes, all the rest. If you guys can rate and review us on whatever podcast app that you're using, we greatly appreciate it. Algorithms and all the rest. And that's it for us. So thank you so much for listening. We love you. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got another real light one, and this might even be a repeat hero.
Oh, okay, that's
but
fine.
A video game I was very excited about was finally released. I didn't realize that it had come out. I just saw somebody tweet about it. I was like, "Oh, is that available?"
Pac-Man 8.
Pac-Man 8. Yeah, yeah. Now with two mouths.
Now with two mouths.
It's no. Just a vagina.
Yeah. The game that I am absolutely loving is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which came out, and the Switch is, I think, the perfect console for it. Mm-hmm. And it's that old school beat 'em up side-scrolling thing, and it feels exactly like the old Turtles from Time, like NES, Super NES arcade game. That I was never allowed to play as a kid or played very rarely because we didn't have a Nintendo. So I always I always loved this game and wanted to play it so bad. And I downloaded it. I was like, this is what the rest of my day is going to be. It comes on with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song from my youth. And it just it just gets me go. Like, I had chills. I was so excited. I played it. It's super fun. And it's like the first video game I've played in a long time where I'm like, I want to get other people together in the room and play this cooperatively. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to do with the original Nintendo one. So I
love that.
Yeah, I love this game. It's as you were saying about this movie, it's that's pure exactly nostalgia how I for felt. Me.
Like even the clicker they were using to change the channels of the television.
Yeah.
And like the telephones and like the car. I was just like, oh my God, my childhood is right there.
I played it all the way through as Donatello. It was great. The best Ninja Turtle. Fight me.
Fight me. It's Raphael. Come on.
But yeah, that's my hero of the week.
That's so great. Kate, do you have a hero or villain of the week for us?
I'm going to say my villain of the week would be the Supreme Court. They are not right.
Yeah, yep.
Full on villain.
Yeah, I wish
dark
them
side.
All.
They are the dark side. They are
a very merry heart attack. Each and every one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that there's my villain.
Yeah, you guys. There's no way you're listening to this, but throw yourself off a bridge. How's that? Anyway, sorry. Throw yourself.
That we have listeners on the U.S. Supreme Court is hilarious.
That would be so funny. Just say, I never.
How am I a villain in this?
Yeah, no. Fuck every one of those fucking people. Oh my God. Okay, no, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to tell something later. Okay.
Hero?
I actually have a villain, and but it's like funny. There's time and there's distance, and like I'm even doing a bit about it now. Like it's funny now. But this movie reminded me of a man I dated that I did not care for. Okay. The world I don't care for anymore, obviously. Anyway, and this guy, and the thing that I just found so particular, he's a rage guy, right? It's all rage. It's rage. I'm yelling. I'm raging. It's all yelling and raging. And I, at that time, was like, it's passion. It's passion. It's passion. You get out of it. You're like, no, it's abuse. It's abuse. It's abuse.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. But he would do this one very, very funny thing that I would like to share with you right now. It's my favorite. I think it is so fucking funny. So this man in particular, every time he would get really, really mad, he would rip his shirt. He would rip it clean down the center, all the way down, just t-shirt, just collar, just boom, just rip it. If it was a button up, the buttons would go flying everywhere. And it was like, and he had no effect. He had such a medium body. So it just seemed like he was like unveiling a Pontiac Sunfire or something. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, yeah, it was so fucking funny to me every fucking time. And here's why I think it's funny. Cause like somebody having an emotional meltdown is not funny, but what I found particularly funny about it is once or twice I caught him in a half second deciding whether he should rip it, his shirt or not because it was his favorite.
Oh my God.
So like you're fully in control of this, obviously. Yeah. If you're looking down at your shirt being like, is this one I can rip? So funny. Anyway, one time he couldn't get it ripped. So then he went bottom up. But it couldn't rip all the way off, so it just looked like he had a cape on.
How often did this happen?
I watched 30 shirts go to die. 30 at least, like 30 shirts
That's
went to die.
Shirts.
I went in a bar once in New York and I was dancing on the counter. It's what I do, guys.
Kate's the funnest person on the planet.
And that waitress undid my bra, took it out of my shirt, whipped it up. I look up at the ceiling. Hundreds of bras were up there. But this
Holy
was a
shit.
$200 bra.
Oh, and you're pissed. Yes.
My boobs now, I'm all saggy. Now I don't look good in my outfit anymore. I'm like, I need my bra back. They would not give me my bra.
That is actually, because yeah.
Once you rip a piece of clothing off, you're not getting it back.
Yeah.
No, that is very true.
Even if it's a bra.
Just see that man staple a shirt back together, put it back on afterwards.
Gosh.
That'd be the best.
I'm going to start doing that out.
Just so funny. Just hulking out. And every time in my mind, okay, this is so bad. And this is why we absolutely needed to break up, of course. But every time he would do it in my head, I would go, it's clobbering time. And I couldn't stop laughing. It was just so funny to me. Anyway, that's my villain of the week. Or hero, honestly. Sometimes I just laugh so hard when I'm thinking about it. Anyway, guys, that's it for us here. You guys can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Kate, do you have anything to promo?
You can follow me at Kate Davis Comic.
Yeah,
all the platforms.
There we go.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates. And I do have some big shows coming up. Guys, I'm recording an album. I'm recording a new album. July 19th and 20th at Comedy Bar in Toronto. So you can check out the website for showtimes and tickets. We'd love it if we got some Villain Was Right fans out there for that show. So check it out. See you there. And that's it for us this week on The Villain Was Right. Next week, stay tuned because we're doing Tom and Jerry.
Woo!
Tom and Jerry.
It is not good.
It's not a good movie. Real silly episode. It's already recorded. Time means nothing. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you that these damn kids and their MTV.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.